perhaps been away or whatever, we are looking at Paul's speech to the Ephesian leaders or elders in Acts chapter 20. We've actually got two more to go, tonight and next week. Let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great passage that we've looked at slowly and carefully. Be with us tonight as we look at a further part of it, and help us to see where it's relevant to us and to our service of you, to the glory of your name. Amen. So page 138 and an outline on the screen in case you want to take the notebooks and pencils from the seat pockets in front of you and take notes. Let me say it again. Most of us here are Christian leaders. If you're a dad or mum, you are automatically a leader for Christ, a leader among your children. If you're in the sixth form, you're certainly a Christian leader in 24/7, an influence for Christ among the younger members, especially those who recently have come up from 242. You may be a leader in a house group or in junior church or Noah's Ark or on the pastoral team. And so this great speech of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, his speech to Christian leaders, is for you. I'm feeling a bit dark here. Could I have a little bit more light from up here? That would be great, if that's possible. Thank you. So look with me at what we saw last week in verse 28. Paul says to us, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. And today in the next verses he says, wolves are after your flock. Verse 29. I know, he says, that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And it's one of the responsibilities of shepherds to shield their flock from wolves. If you imagine that the members of 24/7, the members of your house group or the music group, are not under attack from wolves that want to destroy or at least distort their faith, then you're a blind shepherd who doesn't understand the world your flock lives in. I put "your" in quote marks because we saw last week that the church is God's church. But the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer or leader and given you a flock to care for. And by contrast, if you're a good shepherd, a true shepherd, you'll know that the people you are responsible for are constantly in danger from wolves and that their faith in Christ could be eaten alive. Robin, great to have you here, but just while I'm speaking, if you don't mind, just try and keep quiet, that'd be great. Thank you. That's fine, thank you. Now, Paul talks first about wolves from outside the church. Look at verse 29. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. These wolves are a people and ideas and ways of thinking and ways of acting that are foreign to Christian faith, outside what the New Testament teaches, but which are absolutely commonplace in the society in which we live, and which right now are attacking the members of your flock, your group. And I want to mention two wolves from outside the church, which in my experience as a Christian leader are very common and absolutely lethal. And the first wolf is this. Sex is okay if you really love each other. I've seen that wolf kill more Christians than any other in my lifetime. I think of two members of the youth group I led, my 24/7, who not only acknowledged that they were gay, nothing wrong in recognizing that, it's important to be honest with ourselves about our sexuality, but went on to have same-sex partners. A leader in TNT did the same. And in each case, as a result, their faith has been destroyed. I think of several unmarried members of All Saints who've moved in with their boyfriends, who've known very well that this is being disobedient to their Lord, to Jesus, but have chosen the relationship in preference to Jesus. The wolf has got them. I think of women in this church who have left their husbands for other men, or men who've had an affair. And these are only the people I've known about. This idea that sex need not be confined to marriage, to heterosexual exclusive marriage, that sex is okay provided you love one another, has found its way into the church, and it is a savage, savage wolf that has claimed more Christian lives and destroyed more Christian obedience than any other wolf in the UK in the 21st century. And here's a second wolf. It's the thinking, my commitment is to Christ, not to the church. Now you might say, surely that isn't an idea coming from outside Christian circles, but it is. Many, many times I've heard non-Christians say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And that thinking, that wolf, which is of course completely alien to the thinking and practice of the Bible, has sneaked into the Christian church and wants to eat up the members of your flock. It leads to people seeing how they feel on the night before they decide whether to go to Deeper or their house group or R&B. It leads to people saying the church prayer meeting may be first priority for the PCC, but it isn't for me. It's hard to get out on that Thursday evening, and anyway, I don't find it particularly helpful. It even leads to people feeling, I don't think I'll go to church this Sunday because I've been out a lot this week, or I'm tired, or I've got a lot to prepare for tomorrow, and anyway, I haven't been getting a lot out of it recently. What a wolf. And I've seen that wolf attack and overcome many members of this church. And then at its leisure, gradually finish them off. Gradually eat up what remains of their faith. And then Paul goes on to talk about wolves from inside the church. Look now at verse 30. Some even from among your own group will come, distorting the truth, in order to entice the disciples to follow them. This is more subtle, and in some ways more dangerous still. Here the wolf is in sheep's clothing, and he or she may be harder to recognize because, says Paul, they're a member of your own group. They're in 24/7, or your house group, or R&B, or Thirsty, or this 6:30 congregation. And what they do, says Paul, is to distort the truth, to mislead other members of the group, and to get these other members to follow them and hold the same opinions, but they're just as much wolves. And their attack is often fatal. I've chosen two that I've heard many times in this church, which have always undermined lively faith and sometimes destroyed it. The first is, you can't believe everything in the Bible. That takes many different forms. It may be a misguided idea that science and the Bible contradict each other and you have to choose between the two. It may be we come up against a difficult idea in the Bible about God's anger or homosexual practice or the roles of men and women in marriage, and we say, oh, that's just the Old Testament. Or that's not Jesus speaking, that's Paul. In other words, you can't believe everything in the Bible. Or another way to wriggle out of the teaching we find hard to accept is by saying, that was their culture, it doesn't apply to us today. And I'm not saying that careful interpretation and application are not important, as long as we are clear that everything in the Bible is God-breathed, is inspired, and caused to be written by God himself. But the attitude, you can't believe everything in the Bible, is a wolf. A wolf that emerges sadly from within a Christian church that you regularly hear snarling, except that it sounds so reasonable, not like a snarl at all. And it's lethal. And a second wolf from inside the church is this. All churches basically teach the same. So that it really doesn't matter whether you're a Methodist, an Anglican, or a Roman Catholic, whether you're high church or low church, whether you would call your theology conservative or liberal, whether your gospel is mainly about being an influence for good in your community, or mainly about men and women being rescued from eternal death by the cross of Christ. In the end, so this thinking goes, all churches basically teach the same. Now, it is true that most churches say the same ancient creeds, and almost all churches read the Bible, though they take the Bible and the creeds with varying degrees of seriousness. And it is true that there's been a great advance in the last 100 years in recognizing that there are genuine Christians in all denominations and in loving and praying for one another. But it is simply not true that all churches basically teach the same. In fact, it is dangerously untrue. It is only honest, even if it is painful, to say that Roman Catholics give Mary, the mother of Jesus, a place in their understanding of God's saving work and in their devotion, which is completely absent from the Bible. And then I think of my chaplain at university, who subsequently became the Bishop of Salisbury, who believed passionately and taught equally passionately that Jesus did not die in our place, taking the punishment our sins deserved instead of us. Or there are several clergy in this diocese who will not sing the great Stuart Townend song, Oh, to See the Dawn, because they refuse to believe, in the words of the refrain, that Christ took the blame, bore the wrath. They don't believe God is ever wrathful, Or certainly they don't believe that Christ experienced the wrath of God that we deserved. So this idea that all churches teach the same, basically teach the same, is sadly simply untrue. But it's more than that. It's a wolf. I've seen several keen Christians move from Crowborough and ask no questions about where to move to because they know churches near them will teach the Bible. Or they go to their most local church simply because it is the most local. And as a result, some of them have fallen straight into the mouth of a wolf. A wolf in sheep's clothing, but a wolf nonetheless. And their faith gets slowly eaten away. Now that is Paul's warning, and he says it to leaders. So what should we leaders do? What should I do for the church family here? What should you do for your flock, for the people the Holy Spirit has entrusted to you in R&B, in your house group, in junior church, in 24/7? In verse 31, Paul says two things. And the first is, keep alert. Now follow with me if you would. I'm going to read the whole section from verse 28. Keep watch, he says to the leaders, over yourselves and over all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come, distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert. Suppose you were a parent, and you lived with your young children in a house on the edge of some woods where you know there are wolves and other wild animals. Now, you can't keep your children cooped up or indoors all day long. You wouldn't want to. You're happy for them to go outside and play. But your ears are always open for the howl or just the rustle of a wolf. And as soon as your children are in any danger, you will rush out and make sure they're safe. Paul says, you are leaders, shepherds. God has given you a flock, and you're living in wolf country. So keep alert and watch for the wolves that attack. Now, this does not mean view everyone you come into contact with, including every Christian leader from other churches and some within our own church, with suspicion. It does not mean, as you listen to some people's sermons, listen with your ability to spot a heresy turned up to maximum sensitivity so that you are super quick to pounce on errors. But it does mean, if a wolf is clearly getting dangerously close, if a member of your flock starts saying they don't like all this minute looking at the Bible, or is beginning to go out with someone of the opposite sex who's not a Christian, or is going on a weekend retreat run by a Roman Catholic group, or has been reading the Bible on his own but gives it up because it seemed rather fruitless, then we as shepherds of that member of our flock, we as leaders of that member of our group, ought to take notice, to be concerned, and take action. Be alert, says the Apostle Paul. Yes, but what action? Well, that leads us to Paul's second instruction to us leaders. Warn your flock with tears. Look once more at verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to warn everyone with tears. we must warn our flock of the danger of death therein. It worries me very greatly that there are some members of house groups or other groups in this church who are living with someone to whom they're not married, and their group leader knows about it, and when I or one of the pastoral team talk to them, they say, and I've heard this several times, lots of people know about this, but no one has said anything. Everybody else seems to think it's all right. And so their leaders see the wolves approaching them and even savaging them and do not warn them. No, says Paul, leaders must warn their flock when they're in danger or under attack. And don't forget, right what I said at the beginning, we're talking about most of you as leaders in your family or within one group or another to which you belong. And we must do it with tears. Shepherds, Christian leaders, weep. Do you remember that from verse 19? I've shown you this slide before. Paul said there, I've been serving the Lord with all humility and with tears. When our flock are attacked by wolves, when sometimes they foolishly even put themselves in the paths of wolves, we are not as their shepherds to be hard with them or to shake our heads in disbelief that they should be so blind or immoral. No, we should warn them, but warn them with tears. There are people who used to come regularly to this church, and I break my heart over them. Not only because of all they are missing out on themselves, but often because of their children who see that their parents no longer go to church and so decide that Christianity is not that important for them either. I see a man who used to be on fire for Christ, but has moved in with a woman to whom he's not married, and the fire has all but gone out, and I weep for him and for Jesus, who loves him and whose love he has repudiated. You and I are shepherds. You and I have been entrusted with a flock of Christians. And the flock lives, just as you and I live, in wolf country. Then we cannot sit back. We must be on the alert for wolves. And if we see one near our flock, we must weep and warn. And in God's goodness, perhaps our warning will keep Jesus from weeping too. Let us pray. Just a moment for us to think of the group that we belong to, the service group, the house group, 24/7, and so on. And perhaps we think immediately of some member, or maybe past member, who is in grave danger, or perhaps already has succumbed to the attack of a wolf. And maybe for some of us, we recognize that the wolves are all too close to us. A moment for our private prayer for ourselves. and for those whom God has entrusted to us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made many of us here shepherds. It may be just of our family, but it may well be within some group where we are leaders, either acknowledged or unacknowledged, but because of our age or our experience, leaders nonetheless. Help us, we pray, to keep alert. And where we see a wolf who is clearly ready to pounce or has pounced on one of our children or on a member of the group to which we belong, may we pray, be quick to sound the warning. And to do it with love and with tears, rather than with harsh condemnation. And we ask this to the glory of your name. Amen.